In the end, David HaMelech's armies were victorious, and they destroyed Avshalom's armies. And Avshalom was running from David HaMelech's pursuing armies. And if you remember this part from the Navi, that Avshalom is on top of a pered, he's on top of a mule running, and his long hair is flowing, gets caught on a limb of a low-hanging tree. The donkey continues on its way, and he's caught hanging in the air. He had a sword. He easily could have cut down his hair and escaped, but because of his arrogance, he didn't want to cut his long locks. David HaMelech's soldiers surrounded him, but they didn't touch him. They didn't dare kill him because they remembered the words of David HaMelech, "Be careful." When Yoav heard that he was still alive, he said, "What are you doing? Why didn't you kill him?" And he went himself and killed Avshalom. They took the body back, buried it under a big, big pile of stones. And you would think that that was the end of Avshalom. But it wasn't the end. Because when the messengers came to David HaMelech, they came with a Shmua Tova, with great news. The Melucha had been returned to David HaMelech. Wonderful news. The first question that David asked was, "What's with Avshalom? What's with Avshalom?" And when he heard that his son died, he began crying bitter, bitter tears. And eight times he said the words, "Bini, Bini, Bini Avshalom, Bini Avshalom, Miyitei Musielech, better I should have died than you should have died. Bini, Bini." And the Medrash says that those eight times that he said the word Bini had a tremendous effect. The first seven times that he said the word Bini took Avshalom out of the seven levels of Gehenim. The last time that he said Bini brought Avshalom into some semblance of Gan Eden. An amazing story, because you hear, you can't call it paternal instinct, because long after the son turned rebellious, but not just rebellious, kicks his own father out of the palace, fights for his father's kingdom and monarchy, throne, takes his father's pilegishes, lives with them, wages an open rebellion that costs 20,000 lives, and his father's first reaction is, "Don't hurt Avshalom." And after Avshalom is, in fact, killed, "What happened to my son, Bini, Bini, Bini?" I've heard it said that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, every Erev Yom Kippur, would go to three places. One of the places where he'd stop was Yad Avshalom. The kever, the Pasuk says, Ada Yom Hazeh, there was a kever for Avshalom, Ada Yom Hazeh, till this day. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would go to Yad Avshalom on Erev Yom Kippur, and someone asked him, "Rebbe, of all places, Avshalom, Erev Yom Kippur, what are you doing?" So he said, "Don't you understand? If that's the feeling that a boss of Adam had for his son, so forgiving, no matter what he did, he's my son, he's my flesh and blood, and I love him, I turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I too have failed, I too have fallen short, but you love me far more than any mortal man can love his son. Please, Hashem, have rachmanis." And it is an amazing illustration of paternal instinct. And you see, my friends, that's something that we don't often see. Because I'll let you in a little secret. When kids are little, they're very, very cute. And parents love the kids. I mean, they're just adorable, and they're so cute, and they're so cuddly. I once mentioned this. I had a habit. When my daughter Racheli was 4 years old, I was makbid gomer to brush her teeth every night. I never would let her brush her own teeth. Every night, Abba had to brush her teeth. Now, maybe you think, because I'm very makbid about dental hygiene and her teeth. No, nothing to do with it. She was so cute. I just loved to put the toothbrush in a little mouth. It was so much fun that I would not let her do it, nor anybody else. There's a natural instinct that a father has for a son, for a daughter, for a child. What happens is, as the child grows, number one, that instinct weakens a bit. And number two, the child starts opening a mouth And the child is no longer the soft, sweet, cuddly, little, cute kid that they were when they were 4 or 5, and they change. And so the paternal instinct is still there, but it's more difficult for the father to have that unconditional love, that ever-flowing acceptance for the child and for the child's behavior. Now, don't get me wrong. When you pay attention carefully to the lives of Gedolim, certainly to the Avos, you'll find that even if they were Yotzal Tarbas Ra, even if they went off the Derech, there was still a love. And in fact, that's what David HaMelech was experiencing. Despite the fact that he had no Nachas, I guarantee you, Avshalom wasn't just off the Derech. This wasn't some wild kid with an earring smoking cigarettes on a street corner. This was an open rebellion against everything that David HaMelech stood for. Yet the instinct was there, and the Gadol's heart is warm and flowing with unconditional love. But that's something that we typically don't experience. And my friends, I want to share with you one simple chiddush. And that is that Hashem's love for you is not the love of a father for his teenage son, but it's the love of a father for a 5-year-old son. Unconditional acceptance. Hashem loves every one of his creatures, every one of his creations, with an unstoppable, unbounding love. Ever magnanimous, ever generous, wanting to give. And that's very difficult for us mortals to comprehend, because I don't feel that way, and I've never experienced that love on this planet. So it takes a little bit of breaking out of the box, of sort of stepping out of our limited understanding to be able to relate to Hashem and to be able to understand. Last week we dealt with the question that if in fact Hashem is so loving, if Hashem is so giving, and if Hashem only wants my best interests, why in the world should I daven? Maman of Shach. If this that I'm requesting for was for my good, then Hashem would have given it to me already. And if it's not for my good, then why should I ask Hashem for it? And gentlemen, I believe we discussed last week one answer to that question, that many times Hashem will hold back a good just so that you'll ask, so that you'll come to recognize who is the giver, you'll come to appreciate what you're getting from Hashem. But I believe here we see a very different answer. And there's a second system. And that second system is that oftentimes you will not deserve it. And oftentimes there may be a gzeira for whatever reason, maybe a punishment for things you've done. But Hashem is the Av HaRachamim, the loving Father. And if you beg, if you beseech, if you plea, you may well get it, even though you're not supposed to get it, even though according to din, it wasn't warranted, even though you were cut out from that. But as a father loves the son, Hashem loves us and almost can't resist our requests. Gentlemen, I believe that's Pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem in the Beis Din Shamala decreed you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. It's an onish. Moshe Rabbeinu on some level, maybe it was almost infinitesimal, but there was something that he did wrong and he was being punished for it. And the Shofet Emes said, this is Yashrus. This is Sedek. You cannot go into Eretz Yisrael because this is Mishpat.